Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is brought to you by Honey Gain. Make money with Honey Gain.
We had to get on lockdown for you to put me on the show. What's wrong with you?
But you know, I've been trying to get you on, dog. When you work too damn much.
Nigga. You've had niggas that are more busy than me on the show. What's going on?
This is round one. This is Podcast Light.
Oh, Podcast Light.
Yeah. We're gonna do a proper one when the lockdown's over, man.
That's dope, man. What's going on, dog? Hey, first time you made me use Zoom, bro. I've never used this thing before.
Ah, so dope. Everybody's on it right now, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, the value has just gone through the roof. Like since the lockdown, the company's now valued at like $4 billion or something.
Shit. I know vendor men love their chicken. I don't have pop though.
It looks like KFC chicken. Where do you get that, my G?
No, I got this at Pick and Pay, bro.
Oh, okay, cool. How does it feel being an essential worker, bro?
Nah, dog, it's good. You know, I feel like we're playing at the edge, man. Mm. You know, it takes one job to get it, and then we all die.
Yeah.
You know, so I still feel like it's a risk, but we're taking it for the people because the mass has got to know what's going on, you know. But the station is also making sure, like, the station is, like, the studios are sanitized and shit.
Yeah.
So it's quite cool. It's quite cool, man. And right now, podcast still going?
Yeah, man. We're broadcasting from home, so it's pretty much chilled because everything is pretty, we do everything online, so it's chilled.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so let's start the podcast, man. Good to finally have you.
Oh, shit. I thought podcasts don't have like a start, like you just roll. Fuck, okay.
And the thing is, the last podcast I did, your podcast, got me into so much shit, man. Fucking hell.
Come on, man, you just spoke your truth, bro.
Yeah, but some people don't want to hear the truth though, Sam. You know how it is.
We've had this conversation, man. We work with people that need like therapists because the emotions are just too much.
And how's your show going? Because last time I spoke to you, we're talking about Tepi because it was Tepi's farewell, man.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Yeah, no, like we. Hey, dog, it's weird. It's like going through a divorce, and then you have a new young thing that you vibe with, and you gotta make it work again. But it's exciting at the same time because she's coming through with new energy and new challenges and just making you view the world differently because you've always been viewing things a certain way. So it's quite exciting, man. It's new energy, new direction. I think as a collective, it came at an unexpected time, but we had to find means and ways to get the ball rolling. But it is exciting, man. And one can't ignore, like, I had worked with that hand for like close to 7 years, like when I found her, you know, to join me on, when I started 12 to 3 and I had to find a host, And then I found her. You know, she really came through. You know, she was one of those dominant voices. And what I liked about her, even when I that made me choose her more than anything else, is she always had an opposite view to everything else. Like, for radio purposes, you don't want someone who thinks like you, because it's just boring, bro. Like, I say yes, you say yes. And she always, like, took the other side and took the other direction, which always sounded amazing on the radio. And we had a great chemistry, you know? And I guess she had reached that age or that time in her life where she felt like it's time to move on to what's next. But, you know, with us men, it takes a while. We take a while to grow.
So what happened?
Why still makes sense for me?
What happened between you guys? Because I felt like you were such a great, great team, man. The chemistry came out on air and the show was dope, you know? And she was part of making that dopeness. So was there a rift between you guys or was it just, you know, like, I've outgrown this, let me try something different?
Generally, I also feel like, you know, we grow differently. Like, I think she had reached a certain point in her life where maybe YFM wasn't what she wanted to, it wasn't the platform she wanted to be on, because maybe she'd reached a totally different mindset.
Oh, so she approached you. Behalf, but, so she told you that she wants to leave the show.
It was a conversation that we had, you know, program manager herself and myself. And, you know, she had informed us that she'll be leaving this year. And, you know, and LTVs was being groomed for Urban Music News. And she was coming through proper, like, we're liking her energy and style. We tried her out to stand in when she wasn't available. And we liked it. The audience also liked her. So we decided, you know, just put her up in the position that was available. But, yeah, you know, it's hard also to get into this conversation, because on her end, I don't know why, but I know she had, when I called you in on the last show, you know, she said she'll definitely come through on your platform when you guys have the conversation. And I know she dropped the YouTube video. So if people want to check out, like, her reasons as to why she left, apparently it's on the video. So the masses going to check that one out. She just started a YouTube channel. So, yeah, but there's no animosity between myself and her. Cool.
Speaking about YouTube, right? I remember, I think you did the original podcast.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching a video of you, Miss Cosmo, and the Hip Hop School. I don't know what the show was called, but it had a everyday struggle kind of vibe. On the daily, yes, yes. For me, that is the original podcast. What happened to that show, man?
So the idea came through, there was this lady, man, I forgot her name. So herself and Utabi, so were the executive producers behind the show, and they told me, like, they're trying to emulate what looks like everyday struggle. And they generally fucks with my opinions and my standpoint when it comes to world of music at large. I was like, okay, cool. I'm cool with it. They told me Ms. Cosmo is going to be part of the combo, Hip Hop Scholar, and myself. So at first, there were no roles that were assigned. You know, like, I'm sure with the Breakfast Club and even with Everyday Struggle, you know, everyone has, it's like everyone's expected to have a certain viewpoint to several things. Just to give the show a different dynamic. So with on a daily, it was one of those shows that every time we did it and we dropped an episode, I realized more and more that this is a truth that is needed in the industry, but the game didn't like it. So also another tough thing on my side, I realized about the industry, because I'm part of No Click, dudes just always don't know how to react or don't know how to address me. That some dudes just decide to take a distance. And I know, like, once we had a conversation, I think we're talking about Casper at some point, Tilly reached out and said, as much as I might not agree with some of the things y'all say, but some things have to be said for part of conversation purposes. Like, some things need to be said by other people for us to make that decision, whether it's meat or it's bone. So, you know, but what I appreciated from what he had said is that we need a platform like that. And Hip Hop Scholar came through with the mindset where he knew how the deals were structured. He's been in the game for over 2 decades. He's been the bone for several careers. He's been there for a minute. So he would come through on when a conversation would pop on social media, he would tell you the starts and the end of saying, nah, man, y'all niggas don't know what you're talking about because 1, 2, 3. So he came through with the experience. He came through with the boardroom knowledge. He knows how the deals are structured and how they were executed. So there was no, there was nothing random. There was nothing that was frivolous with everything that we had put out. And then Ms. Cosmo came through with her experience also as a club DJ. She's very tight with several people in the industry. And that's what also made the units very, very strong. But then it got to a point where why do I forget her name? The woman that was instrumental in putting it together, she disappeared. And she disappeared at a time where there was a channel that had come through. We were going to be on Sunday between 4 and 5. I remember very well. We were going to be on Sunday between 4 and 5 because we didn't want to compete with 6 p.m.
On what channel?
I don't know. I'm not going to reveal because... You know,
okay.
I can't say that, but it was going to be one of those pay channels, 4 to 5. So we wouldn't compete with Mzansi Magic's Date My Family, OPW. So 4 to 5 was that gap that we saw that was definitely.
Oh, ATV. Okay, cool. Nice. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. No. It was going to work out perfectly because Sunday we would have touched on some of the big stories that have happened in the week and would also touch on some key things that we would expect across the week and also timeless content that doesn't need no time frame. Like, and that's one thing that we always strive to do is, even if you take an episode of On The Daily that we did last year, the first episode, you put it on the TV now, it will still bang because it was timeless content. There was no timestamp to it as to we spoke about this because, and also we had an African approach with everything that we did because I'm big on African, you know, music and as a unit in the continent. So that was also my strong foot on the show. So we'll talk about any part of the continent and we'll be able to dissect that and also educate people while we're at it. But what happened there, bro, is one person, you know, didn't communicate with us, disappeared. And then we literally just
okay. So
went our own ways.
When you see Popcast, then do you feel some type of way? Because it's pretty much the same idea, just more people on the show.
I just feel like sometimes the dudes are not being honest, you know, because some people have friendship first and they don't tell the truth, you know. I'm not saying like, if someone is your friend, I think it's very instrumental, like you tell them the truth for their own growth. And if you're gonna keep like being nice to them, then the game is not gonna grow in any level. But I appreciate, you know, Scoop for me is one dude who's always just, he spazzes out, he speaks his own mind. So I like the idea that I never know what Scoop is going to say when it comes to that panel. But with everyone else, I just feel like it's always safe. And I feel like for hip hop to break through, there's certain things that need to be said. Like I love how Speedster's very vocal on social media, on his Twitter, even though sometimes he deletes it. I'd like to see more of that, you know, especially on the podcast where he can literally tell it as it is, you know, without having to hold certain things back because he's been such an instrumental DJ for the longest of time, you know, putting out records, putting artists together and just playing the role of a DJ, that it would be dope to hear some of those stories that I feel like haven't been shared when the fans think like everyone is kumbaya and actually they're not kumbaya, which is probably one of the reasons why hip hop is not growing as quickly or vastly as it should be because there's still cliques in the movement. And yeah, and Vijay also now, you know, being up there at Universal, I think he comes through with that very much needed insight on how talent is spotted on the ground and how talent is taken from one level to the next level. So I think everyone has the credentials to be in those seats, but I think it's great sometimes to say, okay, cool, I'm cool with these people, but this is the truth. And everyone watching should not take it personally. The truth is needed sometimes for people to grow. And I think that's what we had on the daily. You know, Cosmo was a friend of everyone game. So she would be able to, would push her to be in the middle to say, as much as I know 1, 2, 3, but this is what I think. So she would be able to cover herself up with that and tell us the truth, because it's pointless us coming together, man, recording and just talk same shit that's on Twitter.
So you were never sour that you were not on the show. So you were never sour about that.
No. Not sour at all. I know there was another production company that reached out. They called myself and Cosmo, told us that they would like to do it, but there was never a follow through with that meeting. I know Cosmo really wanted to do the show, because even with On The Daily, we were starting to think like, maybe we need to add another voice, you know, and we're looking at Scoop, because Scoop had checked out a few episodes and we're like, okay, cool. You know, wouldn't mind have Scoop to be part of the movement. And I knew like, Cosmo's a hustler. I knew like she was definitely going to keep, you know, sharing or keep the conversation going with several people. But I was also busy with other stuff. And it just, because we had to shoot that thing every day in the morning, like at 10 o'clock until 11, and it will be able to finish our
other errands. Cosmo took it and ran with it.
I'd say yes. She took it and ran with it and kept the conversation going with other people. And there's no bad blood, man. You know, it was a great idea. It was a great platform. But I still feel like we still need a platform from the very same people, but who are... Tell the truth. Don't tell the truth when you are affected. Because sometimes I feel like people on such platforms only speak the truth when it affects them. You know, because maybe, for example, what's happening between Nasty and Speedster, we're getting the real truth because it affects Speedster. You know, let's hear the truth about everyone. You know what I mean? Based on what you know, because you've seen these deals, you've interacted with these artists, and you've told them 1, 2, 3, instead of holding back because you're protecting friendship. Nah, that's just how I. If I tell the truth about you, Mac, it doesn't mean like now we gotta have bad blood. It just means like, bro, what I think is you fucked up at that moment, and we've had, for example, our several conversations when you played that clip. You knew you were about to jump into lava, but you were just fucking curious how fucking hot that shit will be, and you did it. You know, so I think that's just one thing that we need to do is. It's telling niggas like, you fucked up and I told you you were gonna fuck up, but you didn't want to listen. Yeah. You know, instead of now you having some vibes like, because I supposedly said it on the platform. And I think that's what the problem, that's what's missing. Even when you watch these fucking TV shows in South Africa, and the reason why SA TV shows on TV are not going anywhere is because there's no opinion. Guys are reading autocue, man. Guys are just telling us what the freaking script writer wrote. Like there's nothing coming from the heart. There's no one saying, the song is hot, but and that's why I think live and the ones of this world were dope. Nabo Andile Ngcube back in the day, Nabo Bonang, even Tivo Touch when he was doing, you know, live amp, because those dudes, Nabo Caesar, those dudes had an opinion about music and they shared it. And I think that's what's missing right now on TV. No one has an opinion about their music. Everyone is just saying the video is hot when it's not.
So wouldn't you say the same? Don't you share the same sentiments when it comes to radio?
With radio, we've had this conversation. If you a shock jock like yourself, I remember watching the interview with you and Chili.
I don't know why you keep calling me a shock jock, dog.
You are a shock jock. You
no,
are.
Dude. I don't wake up with my sole mission to shock people.
No, but when you're a shock jock, it doesn't mean like, it's like Fat Joe. I don't think Fat Joe wakes up in the morning and he's like, fuck, I'm just trying to piss people off. But sometimes he does.
He has to make it to work first.
Sometimes to blow. You're not going to wake it to work, but people are shock jocks, bro. I'm not expecting you to read a headline and you're going to come on fucking radio and tell me the same shit. I already saw it. Y'all niggas just, y'all read shit differently and you'll see it differently. And mm-hmm. Your opinion is always like, fuck, it's a cliffhanger every time you open the fucking microphone. And that's the speciality about the arts that you have as that kind of broadcaster, you know? And then other people take that information and find a way to share their opinion without offending anyone, you know? And I think that's if you take any shock jock right now when you ask them the sound of radio, fuck, all of y'all niggas gonna say radio sounds like shit. All of y'all. When I watched that conversation between you and Chili, one thing I also picked up was that the people you guys were using as references were people who were once part of your clique, you know, where you asked him about Mo when he was on Y, man, like that nigga was, y'all lived your best life together. 6 to 9, Express, 3 to 6 in the morning with you. those times were edgy radio times, you know. You think back with Fresh when Fresh was on Y, and I'm bringing people that you guys spoke about. Those niggas were edgy when they were on Y. But I guess some people grow and they decide to take a different lane when it comes to their career. And I still hear it sometimes with the OG, like, for example, Fresh, but it's not like as ruthless as it was when he was here on Y. And some people decide to grow and change their lanes. But guys like Fat Joe, they just can't stop it. It's there. And even if I put you behind the microphone, three shows in, you'll be like, let me actually see how quick the program manager's office is to this room. Because y'all thread differently. And I think we all different. And that's what makes, for example, YFM great, is that everyone on this platform is absolutely different. And now that I'm on Drive, my mandate is wider, like compared to when we did 12 to 3. When we did 12 to 3 in Otepi, shit, nigga, we used to have some funny, freaking scary moments where it would, you know, when you do something and you're scared and you do it, as soon as you're done, fuck, we did that shit.
Yeah.
And now you leave the show, you're like, fuck, someone is probably waiting for us outside. You wake up in the morning, you're like, shit, okay, cool, everything is still normal. Then you want that feeling again. You want to do it again. You know what I mean? 12 to 3 allowed us to do that shit. And on Drive, when we got to Drive, we can do it, but not as crazy. You know what I mean? Like 12 to 3, our mandate is don't worry about politics. Drive and Breakfast will take care of that. You just hang out with these people. Students, you know, they're studying at home. Oh, they're getting ready for the next class. People are in the office. Just keep them laughing. Get them through the day so they can get ready for Drive. That was our mandate. Which means risk, 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 fun, 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 fun. Literally, Brief was fun. And we did just that. But when you get to Drive, hey, dog, it's totally different. You got to do that, but not as much.
So what do you think of Eastern media right now in the country?
I think there are guys that are... I think when it comes to males, there's like, you can probably count five guys or three that probably got next. You know what I mean? I'm hearing a lot more ladies that are really sounding freaking hot, bro.
Like, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, part of this feels like there's something also, there's a generation. I remember I had this conversation with another jock. I'm like, there's a generation that has to resign or move over for the next generation to come through.
Okay, just pause it right there. I've got Justice on the line. Justice, how are you, bro? Can you hear us?
I'm all right, man. How's it?
Good, man. Sebi's with us. What do you want to ask Sebi, bro?
Hey, DJ Sebi, how's it, man?
I'm the fool, man. What do you mean?
I don't speak Sebi.
I'm the
all right, do end that them jolly.
And the wrong man, no one.
Right. No, I was just asking, man. So are you also broadcasting from home on your show?
No, not as yet. We're still broadcasting from the studio until further notice. But that option is there. If you want to broadcast from home, you can. Marana grata strata jo, so I don't drive to.
All right, yeah. Man. I just want to say, man, I'm a biggest fan. Actually, we're expecting to see you in the biggest radio station in the coming years, man. I remember you were teaching us how to do radio back then in 2013, man. You are good, man. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much, brother.
All right, Justice, listen over the radio, ne?
All right.
shit, you can get calls from this, bro. I had no idea.
Yeah, bro, this is a new school, bro. New school.
I mean, how does it work? So I can tweet it and shit. Like, how does it work?
Yeah, it's like, it's just an app. It's like Hangout.
So I just tweet the link.
Yeah, you just tweet the link and then people can join. It's just that this guy, he turned his camera off. We could have seen him as well.
Mac, me, I had no idea. I'm thinking like you're recording this thing and it's gonna go live when it goes live, you know, on YouTube and shit.
Nah, man, bro.
I didn't know that, bro.
This is MacG Unleashed 2.0.
Yay, MacGyver. Fuck, I'm tweeting this right now, bro. I want to see more. Yeah. But we can keep it going.
Yeah, so as you're saying, before I cut you off, yeah. State of Radio, yes. Mm. Yeah. The ladies are coming.
State of Radio.
Yeah.
Yo, I ain't going to lie to you. Like, the ladies are really coming through with fire. Like, I hop on. Sometimes I check out, like, community radio just to hear. Talking on community radio, I think niggas need to stop on community level thinking, like, it's just the homies that are listening or it's just the people on campus. Nah. Mm. Like, when I was looking for LTVs, a woman to take over. Let me not say a woman also. Like, a voice to take over that segment that we had created. There's no dude I heard that I was like, shit.
Yeah.
That dude got sauce.
Yeah.
And also, like, when I heard the ladies, I'm like, yes. You know, like, from just the link itself and also just the opinion and just the delivery. Like, one thing, you gotta sound like you gotta be present when you're freaking on behind the microphone. And some dudes, it's like they present, but they just busy with some other shoot. So we like a second option. I'm like, this nigga, like, what the fuck is going on? But I have to say, like, the ladies right now, like, whew, yeah. They're on fire. They really, really on fire. They really, really are on fire.
My thing, I feel like, I feel like, sorry to cut you off there, man. Because obviously when I was at Y, you were just from the Y Academy. And you're still there now. I think you're part of the furniture or something like that. But the thing...
No, bro. Look, listen. Not to cut you short there. I get that a lot. And I always say, when I look at some... Oh, when I got to Y, bro, let me tell you this. When I got to Y, I told myself I'm going to spend my 20s here.
Yeah. Period. Yeah.
I'm going to... At the age of 20, I'm fucking probably going to leave this thing at 30 or 31. Because... the industry is so freaking small, bro, like in South Africa. Like, it, especially if you want to play a long game, and I know we've had this conversation, if you want to play a long game, I know, like, if I leave Y at 31, for example, or 32, I can still go through at 5 and go through at Metro and run another 5 or 6 years. Because
100%.
For niggas like me, there's no plan B, bro. Like, this is it. This is my radio career until I go down like the jam, I bought my banner. Like, this is it. I'm probably going to... You know, I lost my mama behind the microphone. And when that moment happened, I'm like, fuck, this is one of those things where you're like, when you found what you want to do forever, I'm definitely going to do this thing until I die. Even if I leave now and I go to another part of the world to try out radio, which is something I still want to do, hence I travel and I broadcast on these parts of the globe, it's because I'm still trying to find shit. Can I rock in Singapore? What's there? What's there in London? You know, what's there in America? Like, American radio for me is like, I don't rate it highly because they shout and shit. But if you listen to Australian radio, you listen to American radio, not American, Latin radio, it's Europe at large, and then you listen to, you know, what's popping also. Like, when I heard in Singapore, man, like, I was like, oh shit, they radio here. Like, you know, there's a station called 987. I'm like, oh shit, like, y'all actually freaking do radio. Then I started looking into more platforms. But if you want to play the long game, you got to think long. Like, you Fresh did, like, what, 10 years at Y?
And it can still, you can still do another 20, bro.
You know, you can. You know, Mo did, like, 9 years at Y, Tolly did 10. And we came through. The thing is that we came through, and I remember having this conversation, I was asking you, like, bro, like, you were counting cash, actually, in the morning. You came through from your gigs, and you were fixing your money. You know what I mean? I'm like, shit, dog, like, that's so much cash. Like, How do you make so much money? And you're like, if you're gonna be worried about my money, you'll never make your own money. I'll never forget this, and I tell you all the time. Yeah. And it hit me because I was like, oh shit, actually, you know, focus on your own shit.
So what
play for the same?
What do you think is the difference between the Y then, like 2008, 2009 days, to the Y now? Because you were there for both generations.
I think, for example, some of the new generation don't ask questions like we do, bro. The new generation also doesn't want to swallow their pride. Bro, I didn't mind holding your CD bags and being the back guy. Like, I didn't mind being the back guy for a long time until my time comes. The new generation wants to be on immediately. Like, put me on, I'm better than Savvy. You know what I mean? And you put the nigga on to stand in, you know, you don't move the ground. You know, we're having this conversation with my producer the other day. It's like when we go on holiday and when you stood in for Danielle after she gave birth, nigga, she cut her leave short and she came through because it was, the studio was on fire. You know what I mean? She came through blazing. When Zama Dube stood in for Bonang, you know what I mean? Like, Zama Dube freaking came through and she damaged the entire thing, because that's the school of radio I come from. When you stand in, nigga, when you stand in, you shut it down. Yeah. There's no coming through with being humble. And also shutting it down doesn't mean you play your liners and all that kind of shit everywhere. It means when you turn on the microphone, you're literally killing it, you know? And I think that's the new school of radio. Some of the guys don't understand that mindset. Like, we looked forward to December. Like, there was a time in December where we did 3 shows in one day because I'm ready. There was a time where I did my graveyard show between 3 and 6. Muto couldn't make it. I did 6 to 9. So I did 3 to 9 o'clock, 2 shows back to back, 6 hours on. I was like, I want this. You know what I mean? So give me any show right now, I'm a body it. You know, to an extent where people start suggesting in April that give this nigga a show, put this nigga on, because you've been freaking fighting. And I think the new generation, it's fine to swallow your pride. You're great, you're talented, we see it. But you just haven't proven yourself. You haven't earned your stripes. Earn your stripes, you know, move up the ladder. Also at YFM back then, there was a culture of seniority. You know what I mean? Like, McGee's a senior. Mpoma Boy's a senior. Mpoma Boy used to walk in, she would be on her phone, and she'd be like, I need a computer. If you're
so intern, it's fucking Russia.
Hey, man, who's that now?
I don't know. Hello. I tweeted it, man. So I think the masses are joining now.
No, hello. Hello.
Is this MC? How are you?
Yes, hello, hello, hello. Hello, you.
Good, man. What's your name, bro?
Hello,
you.
Hello, hello.
You can call me. You just call me Emma for now.
Are you calling from Russia?
Yes, I'm from Soviet Russia.
All right, cool, man. DJ Sav is here. What do you want to ask him?
DJ Sabe.
Yeah, what do you want to ask him?
Guys, I'm Soviet Russia.
What do you want to ask him?
There's that fake Gucci.
What Gucci?
Just fake Gucci.
There's no Gucci, nigga.
That is fake Gucci.
Like I mean, your fake,
just fake like Gucci. Your fake voice. Shut up. There's like Soviet fake Russia.
Are these your colors?
No, like your fake voice.
Hey, shut your mouth, buddy. Huh? Shut your fucking mouth. How dare you speak
no,
to me
shut
like
your
that.
Mouth.
Yo, yeah, Sydney Mazzy, I'm going to smash Sydney your egghead in.
There's yo, no Gucci out here. What's wrong with you? In,
oh, my goodness.
You're going to smash my head.
Who was that,
y'all got fake balls, nigga. Like, y'all talk heavy but can't do shit. With
is that
fake
one
Russian
of
you? Accent.
Is that one of your listeners, bro?
I have no idea who that nigga is, dog.
But yeah, that was the seniority part that you were talking about between now and then, yeah.
I think it's important, bro. It inspires you to work towards something. You know, like, I never hate Mpoma Boy. Mpo had some real rules, my nigga. Like, Mpoma Boy had rules like, you only walk into studio if there's a reason. You don't fucking walk into studio just because you want to chill.
And she gets mad, bro.
My traffic and fuck up. She get mad. And I respected that because you learned how people work. Like, Tolly also had that thing is, you don't just freaking talk to my listener without preparing for my listener. Because Tolly was clean like that. Like, Tolly was, you come in to do traffic, do your traffic. If I ask you something, you'll talk. You're not just going to start blabbling here for no freaking reason. And I went through that school. I saw also how Sbu had organized chaos, dog. That 6 to 9 thing, but everyone knew Sbu was a host of that shit. And there was order there. There was Mpoma Boy. There was also Bonang. Bonang had this thing also, bro, like where you just don't talk to me, you know. But I'm friendly. I'm not mean. I'm not mean or anything else. So she gave that energy off, and I liked it. I was like, oh, that is nice. where people think you're intimidating, but generally you're a nice person. But they see you like that. You know what I mean? And then there was you. They called you the young mosquito. You know, you were just friendly, always chilling in the back with your big... Mac, you used to come through with this, guys, with this ice cream caffeine, eating his pop at the back, prepping his talk to the show. You know, like, he was just that guy, you know? You think he's broke as fudge, but he would probably buy all the girls the bottles in the club. Like, you were just that guy, you know? And that was why, bro. Then there were... And I appreciated that. To this day, I say, we come from that school that took us through. You went to grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4. Now we're in a generation where guys want to move from grade 7 to grade 12.
How do you feel about your woman being on Metro?
I'm excited, man. I'm excited for my girl. Like, you know, my girl, it's the power of the tongue, bro. Like, when she left Kaya, she had to take some time off from this radio thing and just spend time with myself and focus on TV. And one thing my girl has is she got balls of steel, bro. And I've always told her, like, maybe it's the vendor jeans and shit. Like, when she left Y, so when she finds something she likes, she doesn't mind risking it all and just taking the leap of faith and jumping. You know, when she left Y, she took a leap of faith and joined ANN7. And then ANN7 happened and she decided to leave ANN7 and just spend time with herself. And she took, like, it was 8 months, an 8 month hiatus. Like, and I think it's very important for people to start to spend, like, have conversations with yourself and figure out what you want and what you're about. And then when she left ANN7, that 8 month period, 6 months of it, you know, she was rested. And then she started reaching out to radio stations and then she joined Kaya. And then she worked her ass off at Kai. It was challenging. She's a true journalist at heart and she loves true news. And then a few years later, she decided to leave Kai to join this new TV channel that had started, which is 405 Newsroom Africa. And she loved it so much because it allowed her room to go on the ground. And it was a totally different experience for her to be great in her craft, which is being a news journalist. And then last 2 years ago, she started saying, I want to join SABC, but I want to join Metro first. I was like, yo, do you know the queue up there?
Yeah.
The queue at Metro is heavy.
Trust me, I know.
I like the queue there. And she's like, nah, don't worry. I'm joining Metro though. Give me time. Metro, I'm joining Metro. I was like, okay, cool. You join Metro, babe. I got you. And then she started finding out who's who at Metro. You know, she started hustling. And I'm watching all of this happen. Started listening to all the journalists there at Metro. Okay, this is how Mel sounds like. This is how Hopedi sounds like. You know what I mean? And she started giving me insights on how people read in a certain way. And this is what she would bring to the table. Mm. And then she told me we were in Singapore. She's like, babe, this year, I'm joining Metro. Save this tweet. And she was saying it like, I remember we were about to go out that night, about to leave the hotel. And she said, I'm training Metro this year. Wait. Okay, cool. And she had said it before when we were in London. I was like, okay, we'll see. But we came back, she recorded her demo. She's like, this is what Metro doesn't have with the demo. We recorded the demo. And she said, this is what I'm bringing to Metro. And we recorded it. I remember I booked the studio, Office Studios in Greenside. And when she laced it down, it was a few options. But it was just, you know, when you look at your girl, you're like, shit, fuck. Like,
yeah.
I need that here. I need that. You know what I mean? She sent the demo to Tony. Tony took a while. And then eventually they caught, and she had a conversation with, she's been having conversations with Tony from 2019, in the beginning of 2019, when Flavor had just taken over the breakfast show. Mm. But everything manifested this year.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So wow. And I think people don't know that side of my girl. Like, we push each other so much, we challenge each other so much. The difference between me and her is that I play a long game and she doesn't mind playing a long game that takes different routes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't mind like doing that. I'm like, whew. Nah. I don't risk.
All right, can we just take a break because I'm about to run out of the minutes I can record. So I'm going to send you a new link, and then we'll record again for 20 minutes, and then we'll be done.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just going to exit now, and then I'll resend you a link. Ne?
Okay, what? Do I say stop?
No, don't worry. I'll exit from my side. Don't stress. Sweet. Fantastic. No, that's amazing, man. And how has fatherhood changed you?
Fatherhood has just given me more reason to do certain shit and certain reasons to not do certain shit. So because, man, before I became a dad, I used to attend anything just because.
Sure, mops. You
know? Yeah, just I didn't have a six-pack. I used to just go, bruh. So I got the time. Why not? Fucking go.
Where did you meet your woman, bro?
Yeah?
Where did you meet your woman?
I met my woman at Y.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, we met at Y, bro.
Bad boy so to Natty vibes.
Yeah. Weird enough. She threw the bones. So what happened is I went to the newsroom one day. So I used to see her. She was in the Y Academy. And I used to see this girl, man, like I used to call her the black cowboy chick because she used to dress like Taylor Swift with boots and shit. Like and her English was very like, they went to high school, like probably started like very fancy and shit. Like I would say pink, she'll say mauve, that bullshit, that English. And she was just my type. But when I'm in a relationship, I just don't look at another woman. And at the time, there was a time where my current relationship at the time was, things were just not going together, working out. I went to the newsroom. She flirted. I flirted back. And then the story started, man. We went on our first date out at Midrand. And from there, man, like, we've been together for donkey years now.
Are you planning to get married anytime soon?
Definitely.
Yeah. Nice, definitely.
I can tell you this on tape, like, yeah, you know, until Rihanna says what's good and we can go on a date, which will never happen.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. All right, cool. We're about to play a game called One Must Die.
Yo,
so I'm gonna give you some radio broadcasters, and you must choose one must die. Ne?
Okay.
All right, cool. We're going to start with More Flavor, DJ Fresh. One Must Die.
More
Must Die.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I'm a big fan of how Fresh has played the long game.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of how he was able to tap in different markets. You know, Fresh moved from Y, went to 5. There was so much fucking hate he went through over there. Built a monster of a radio show. He was able to do Breakfast and Drive on that station, did Breakfast and Drive on Y, and then went to Metro, was bossing it in the morning, and now he's on 947. For me, like, and I can't, like, Mo also had a similar career here where he had a dope run, but moving from Y to Metro, you know, it's great. But there was that challenge I think Fresh took. Going to 5, it's like a new audience, bro. Like they found his laugh annoying. I remember that hate he got at the time in the comment sections. It was always crazy, and to be able to withhold all that pressure, and become the fire of a brand that it is to this day.
And I don't think people don't understand his career, because right now as it is, he can still do 947 Breakfast for maybe another 5 years, and after that he can still go to Kaya. Do Drive there and Breakfast there and go back to Prime Media and do 702. That's like 30 years, bro.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying to you. It's like people sometimes think now. I'm thinking like long game. You look at how Alex J played his game. Alex J should have joined Jacaranda a long time ago. But he decided to do what? Do 947, went to 94.5 KFM, kept yo-yoing the two. And he was like, okay, cool, it's fine. Then he went to, you know, Jacaranda. He's doing his thing right there. But even if he wanted, he could have said, Prime Media, finish all the stations there, head out to Radio 2000, you know, have fun there with the solid gold vibes, and then go to Jacaranda, you know? So it's up to you how you want to play, because fresh girlfriend, look at the jammer, bro. Like, we're trying to be on, if you're trying to be on the air until you're 50 something, look at guys like that. Like, just play your game. Like, this thing is chess. I look at it as chess. Like, I'm not competing with anyone. I'm competing with myself. How far can I take my radio? And also, if you got to adapt, Fresh is also one of those guys.
Yeah.
Fresh adapted to everything. You know what I mean? And also, he's never been scared to keep the door open, you know, putting niggas on.
Yeah.
That is inspiring. Keep it going. What did Shinza do to you?
Nah, nothing.
Didn't you have him on the show?
No, that's my nigga, dog. We chopped it up. We chopped it up. But anyway, speaking about 947, have they ever tapped you up to come that side?
Yeah. Ah, shout out to Ravi Naidu. Me and Ravi are cool.
Oh, Ravi's...
I did. Huh?
Ravi's
no, a long time ago. So, yes. So, I was at 947. So when I left KFM from Cape Town, because I got my break actually on KFM in Cape Town, and then I asked for a transfer to join it was Highfield Stereo at the time. I used to do the show before Brad Brown. Brad Brown was, for me, is like one of those talented niggas like ENF. Mm. You know, very clean, great behind the mic. And then I just felt like at Highfield at the time, I wasn't getting enough airtime, you know, because you'd get like, Stefan would call you, you get like two shows a month or one show a month. Matapelo was still the programming manager. And then I left, joined the Y Academy, started from the bottom again. I remember when I joined the Y Academy, the twins used to laugh at me because I used to do a kids show at SBC1, Kobori Sanani. They were like, but you got money, why are you here? Why are you an intern? Like I said, I want a show so bad. I want in. And getting at Y, like Dumelo, like I don't know how many demos I'd sent him, bro. Like, and I was like, fuck, swallow your pride, start from the bottom again.
What show did Ravi Naidu offer you?
Ravi offered me 12 to 3 when Tolly left. When Tolly B left, he called me and offered me 12 to 3. I remember very well. And I was like, shit, Ravi, I just started driving Y. I'm sorry. Like, I just started driving Y. Let me finish my chapter here. Let me tell the story. Let me go through this dream I've always had on doing Drive or Breakfast at Y. And then I'll be able to give you my all. Like, it's pointless jumping into something and you're still longing to experience this something and you have an opportunity to do best. And then it played out well, man. Like, first year when I was doing Drive, we got the nomination. And I'm sure also as someone who had reached out, he saw that, oh, shit, this kid is playing the long game. Like, let's wait.
Yeah, all right, cool. So. Tanda Tabuti versus Nia Brown. One must die.
Nia can die for now, yeah.
Nia Brown. I thought it's Nia Brown. Sorry, man. Yeah. Nia Brown, yeah.
Yeah, Nia Brown. Yeah. Yeah. Tando, I don't think, you see what's, Tando's great on the mic, ne? She's fucking amazing. But I don't think people understand her technical ear. Tando's probably one of the best technical radio DJs in the fucking game.
Yeah,
like, Tando is able to mix shit, like, from liners to the music, and you're like, whew. And it will stay like, you know what I mean? For me, it's rare. Some people will be dope on air, but they would lack here.
Yeah.
That chick is just an all-rounder. And with Nia, she has all the qualities. It's just that Tando has done a little bit more.
What did you think about that thread that she put up of how she left Five, Tando Tabuti?
It's hard to have an opinion on that because I feel like there's another layer. You know, Five still needs to tell us their side of the story to get the truth. But if she was really offered like 4 to 7 on a Sunday, it was definitely not cool. But at the same time, from the outside looking in, she was never there, you know, for her Drive show, because she started booming, she was traveling. And I can only imagine how the station it was when it comes to trying to build this Drive show and your host is always like traveling, you know. So I think sometimes that could have been another reason. I don't know what conversations they were having, but it would be great to also find out the other side. I haven't worked at the ACBC, and people always say like whatever they say. I haven't experienced it, so I can't talk on ACBC radio. I've only done like TV and on a small scale. But definitely, I'll say Tando.
All right, cool. Fat Joe against the late, great Chilly M.
Fuck, that's a hard one. I give it to Daddy.
Daddy.
I give it to Daddy. Yeah. The thing about Daddy, he had more life experiences that made him fucking amazing. Mm. He did so much and he shared it on the radio. Yeah. And he always came up, man. The dude went on, was on Vuma FM. Like, that's a gospel station, you know? Like, it takes a strong freaking shock jock to boss it on freaking gospel. For you to back announce Benjamin Dube and not mess that ish up. It's special, bruh. So definitely. I'll go with Chilly. I'll go for Chilly. Chilly was so raw, man.
Can you give me a Chilly story? Everybody has one, man.
Yo, I didn't get to interact with Chilly on a personal level.
Oh wow.
I never got to interact with him on a personal level. And that's just probably something I don't have with all the other jocks. But he was the first jock I heard when I arrived in Joburg in a police van. Because I got a lift from one of my uncles who was a cop and he was dropping some dockets here at Joburg. And my arrival in this city was in a police van. I'm sitting at the back, you know, I've been getting freaking, my wind's been blowing in my face, you know, for 500 kilometers. And I got my headphones on and I put on 992 and the Essential Rush was on, dog. Whew. I've never heard jingles like that. I've never heard like a link like that. I've never heard my daddy like that. It was like, fuck. You know, when you listen to radio and you're there, you can't even think of moving to anything else. Like nothing else matters on the radio dial. Mm. It's just that guy right now, you know? And I was like, shit. Because when you stream something, I used to stream Y at the Love Life Youth Center because they had internet. But when you listen to it on radio, it fills up your headphones and you're like, shit. And I remember also when I saw you and the twins, y'all had just joined Y broadcasting at the corner of Rosebank at the garage. Like, y'all are just too cool, bruh. Like, that's just, you know, you were drinking a fucking Heineken at 9 a.m, dog. You know, I'm like, that's another level of cool. Do you get that? You know? And I was like, shit. I remember I used to talk to my friend Karabo when we went there to see you guys and we saw Smo at Bree. I'm like, bro, like, these guys are cool. And he was like, nah, bro, why is just about being yourself? You're also cool, but it's just that they're on Y, so they extra cool, you know? Mm-hmm. So to be part of this ethos and having seen you guys is like inspirational, man. And yeah, man, I'll definitely go for Chilly, bro. I don't have a Chilly story, but the drug bus story was insane when he ousted his drug dealer on the radio. That shit had me hooked. Like that shit was insane.
All right, Anele against Mom Daddy, Dineo Ranak.
Mom Daddy, obviously, number one. Yeah. Oh, Dineo. I got to experience Dineo live.
Yeah.
You know, and also, you know, I'm a big fan of Anel. I would still like to hear Anel on a platform like Metro. Mm. You know, I would still like to hear Anel on a platform that is historically for Abu Dhabi. You know, she killed on 5 with Grant and they had an amazing lifetime show. And she's bossing it on Breakfast right now. But I would still like to hear her challenging herself, Car Radio. Like, I've never heard her do it on a platform like your Metro's. You know, it's always been like on the top 40 formats and that kind of app, but I'll definitely go for Mom Daddy.
Are we gonna take it international? Charlamagne the God versus Howard Stern.
Howard Stern, how dare you put Howard Stern up against Charlamagne? How dare you, man? Shit, even Charlamagne will be surprised, my nigga. Shit. Howard Stern, dog. The God, the highest paid dog of all time. The arm, my nigga. Woo.
Do you know, I didn't know about Howard Stern until I had to attend Y Academy class. Because remember, I had to attend the Y Academy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know how that move for us. Yeah, I didn't know how it stood until then. I was like, what the fuck is this guy?
I used to hear Howard, Garrett used to make reference of Howard Stern during his shows on Five. But I never used to take note of this nigga. And Garrett would always say, this is the only dude that, one of the dudes that inspired him. But when we watched that movie, that Howard Stern Private Parts movie, I was like, shit, this nigga. This nigga's like insane. You know? But Howard, I think also the great story about Howard Stern is, he's a guy who was just never scared to share with his listeners what he's going through. And also just speaking your mind, you know, and we're living in that era now where jocks who do not share what they're going through and jocks who do not share how they truly feel will suffer.
Yeah.
You're no longer now, you're listening for the music, but you're also listening to the shit in between. If the shit in between is cock, you flash it. If the shit is nice, you're like, oh shit, whatever the shit is, I like this. And that's why the podcasts are booming, you know, because people like how the fuck you ask us shit and how you address shit and how you view shit, you know. If it wasn't for that, like, I don't even think people would be subscribing to your channel.
Yeah, and that leads me to my next one must die. Radio or podcasting? One must die.
Now, you see, with this one, it's a bit tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Podcasting is the future. Radio is traditional. Mm-hmm. For radio to survive, they need to adapt. So technically, radio is dead to a certain degree in spaces that are very techno savvy. You know, if data had to become freaking cheap in South Africa, already in Joburg, you feel it. Like, I'll be driving and I'll be hearing dudes streaming. You know, I'm also driving and I'm on TuneIn Radio and I'm streaming. I'm on SoundCloud and I'm streaming all these shows. So radio has to adapt, you know, as much as FM is one of the strongest means of broadcasting and it reaches a more broader audience in the African context, everyone needs to adapt to what the internet is doing, especially if you're playing in the urban space. You can't mess with those cozy FM numbers. Those numbers are going to be like that for the next 20 years. With the internet, without the internet. Yeah. Those stations serve a totally different mandate. But Abo Y, Abo Metro, Abo 947, all these commercial, urban-friendly stations, we got to play with where the market is. Like, we literally follow where the market is going, you know? And that's why we're gonna start seeing some podcasters joining radio. That is also coming, where MacG is going to come with this audience into a radio station, and then they're going to find a common ground to work together.
To monetize, know? Yeah.
It's coming. Yeah, it's coming.
So I'll be going back to my roots.
But you know what, me, I've told you what you need to do to get back on radio.
Yeah. Okay, listen, so you are programs manager.
You don't want to get back.
You are programs manager of YFM. Digital is, radio's under attack from digital. You're the programs manager. What is your lineup to combat this thing that's coming, podcasting, digital, whatever? From the breakfast to drive time, what's your lineup right now on YFM? Right now.
I'll still keep everyone. I'll just force everyone to. I still feel like one thing we can all do, if every show needs to have a digital component. Gone are the days of just putting a topic on Twitter and putting a topic on Facebook. Yes, or what? Then you're just going to read opinions. You literally need, like how the Americans are doing it right now in the UK, where radio's on TV and radio's online live.
Same
time.
You
know what I mean? You have to integrate your content into the digital platform where people can get an experience to touch, feel, and experience it, and then engage with it.
So what you know, this thing of show, bro.
Yeah, I'm actually with my producer right now. You know, Esmo Howe this side. So
it's in the pipeline.
There's more to it, bro. Like, we can't be freaking putting just toppings alone. Like, if we actually accepting competition with digital, we have to give people more content. That's why you're seeing the break. If it wasn't for YouTube, we wouldn't know about the Breakfast Club.
100%.
You know, they cut audio, they put it out. You consistently feed the dragon with content. You keep feeding the masses with content. So on my side, I would make sure, because I think everyone at Y right now, with the YFM lineup from from 9 until, you know, from until 10, I'm happy with what I'm hearing when I listen. It's just that I will shoot up a little bit more when it comes to digital content feed. Tap is an amazing storyteller. You can do so much with Uncle Tap when it comes to putting up content on the visuals. And you can draw a whole lot of viewers who still think he's black to watch to really find out. I still freaking use that shit. I will use Kuto's beautiful freaking banging body to share more fitness tips. I think she's got a banging story to tell. I'd also use that. Let the numbers shoot off the roof with niggas watching that shit and ladies watching that shit to try and have a body like hers. Nia and Mtor are crazy as fudge. Those are the friends you have on the radio who are very edgy. And they have a way of sharing their life experiences that you could literally kill when it comes to social media. We have music, you know, templates on a show. You know, I have reached to any artists across the globe. We can literally use that to feed the audience with that kind of content because our mandate is absolutely different. We have LTV, who's got a broad experience when it comes to acting. We could do some bomb-ass skits around that. Mohau is a Sama Award-winning producer. So when it comes to visual, he knows what to do. Anati's the rock star of the station. You know, she knows all the coolest soccer players, all the coolest artists. Take all that shit, put it on digital. On my end, I'll take all those components, feed them onto digital, and marry it with the actual video show. And then after that, you won't fuck with us, genuinely.
I got you, man. All right, cool. So just in closing, I know you're an artist as well. What do you think about being an artist after lockdown? Because everybody's panicking about gigs, you know?
No, man, people must just give people music, man. People just must give music, like drop music. People, this is the right time to drop music, but also it's not the right time to drop music. So if you have songs, like what Castle Light is doing right now in bed with several artists, is dropping songs that artists were never going to drop. Artists need to go into their hard drives and feed the people, feed. I think that's what Cass was doing. He's just giving us music. Just so when he starts touring, people are gonna, it's all about being top of mind during this moment right now. You know, Casper's heavy on TikTok. He's heavy on the gram. He's heavy on Twitter. Tweezy and Gemini Major have come together to do these battles. It's Nasty C and MT now.
Who do you think is gonna take it tonight?
That one is hard to.
Hey, tricky. We did it on the radio.
Tricky. We did it on the radio and on Twitter. On Twitter, Nasty one. On radio, MT one. So it's. That one is generally tricky because they both have a solid catalog, tit for tat, tat for tit, yin and yang, like punch for punch. It's going to be a heavy, heavy battle.
I hear what you're saying about being top of mind, but at the end of the day, if I'm surviving off gigs after lockdown, I don't think we're just going to go back to gigging 5 gigs a weekend. I think it's going to take a while before we see that again.
Yeah, but that's why I feel like the true creatives are surviving now. If you're a true creative and you fully understand why you got into this business and you are able to think of shit, you will make it work. Look at Shimza and TH. They came together, created a lockdown. It's on TV.
And the beauty about this COVID-19 thing, apart from everybody dying, is the fact that everybody's gone to basics. Like now, when was the last time you actually listened to DJing, like the technical ability, their mixing? I can't remember because in the club, you don't look at that, you know, but with lockdown, the lockdown house party, it's all about your technique, your song selection. It's gone back to the basics of what DJing was about.
And also on radio, it's gone back to the basics of entertainers. Yeah. We heard the song in the morning. We heard it again in the afternoon. What else? You know, like if I was looking at the numbers, people are listening to more radio and people are actually watching all these live feeds that are going out there. People want content, you know, and the reason why quarantine radio is winning so much, it's entertainment. And everyone is now trying to sample what he's doing. You look at what you're also doing now. This is entertaining because it's different, you know. It's still addressing the importance of social distancing, me being here and you being there. It's different, you know. And one can imagine when we're actually there and having this conversation, I'd come with the alcohol as always and we'll have shots. I don't think people have heard you when you're drunk. or when you're tipsy, we still need to give them that shit, because I think that shit is going to be lit shit, where people realize that the Mac G we fucking love so much on the radio is this Mac G, sober-minded, but now he's tipsy. Next time we do this live, yeah.
I'm out of alcohol, bro. Drop me some clippies there. I know you got a plug there.
I'll bring you clippies and cola. I'll bring you anything, gin, vodka, whatever.
Yeah.
We'll have our champs episode, drinking champs.
Yeah. But listen, Savvy, thank you so much for joining me, man. I really appreciate this. And me and you always chat offline about stuff that we want to do and want to work together. And that's one thing that this COVID-19 has made me realize, that we'll have so many ideas, but we just got to fucking do it, man. We just got to do it.
Yeah. That is so true. We've been talking about doing some shit together.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been. All right, cool, man. Let's make it happen. Like, thank you for seeing me as an important person to have on your podcast, finally. I feel like a celebrity now.
Please.
Thank you. I feel great. I'm not even going to tell you this episode is going to get how many views. I don't have that season mileage. But thank you.
It's only because Fresh couldn't make it today. So I was like, who else can I say?
I was waiting for your fucking punchline. We've never had a conversation so long and clean without you taking a punch at me. It's fine. I'm going to go on the radio while you edit this video.
Savvy, love you long time, bro. Love you long time, bro. Shab.
Podcast and chill. Mac G, the Ghost Lady, and Len Moleko.
This episode is brought to you by Honey Gain.
When the big wireless carriers start trying to get you to splurge your tax return on the latest nonsense this year, just tune it out. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199 on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See straighttalk.com.